the burdens people came in here with, but at the name of Jesus Christ, those strongholds have to break. Hallelujah, Lord, I pray. Let your name be exalted. Let your name be glorified. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. You're worthy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can we just take this moment and lift up our hands in worship? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being in this place. Thank you for being everything that I need. Hallelujah, you are an awesome God. You are a mighty God. You are a great God. Oh, we worship you tonight. Oh, we worship you tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, music team, for leading us into the presence of God. Oh, and bringing us such a sweet atmosphere of the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. An atmosphere like this, anything is possible. God can do anything in this place tonight. Amen. Thank you, music team. So greatly appreciate it. When we find our way back to our seats tonight, just want to thank Pastor Grant for opening up this church for us here tonight. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jordan Herman, for being here tonight as well. Brother Jordan Herman is such a genuine, kind, and sincere man. He truly is a Christian. He truly loves the youth of Wisconsin. He truly believes in each and every one of you here tonight. He believes in you, and he wants the best for you. And I'm so thankful that he is here and representing us, representing the youth through the state, and I appreciate him as a friend. Times when I've had to reach out to him for help, he was available, and he really opened his heart to me and really helped me along. And so I appreciate that, Brother Jordan. Thank you so much. And I so appreciate Brother and Sister Jordan and Abby Powell. They are incredible people. Amen. Thank you for making me and my wife feel so welcome. I appreciate all that you do. Amen. Both of you. You guys are incredible people. And you know, they are your youth leaders, and you really are blessed because they truly love and care for you. I've had many conversations with them in the past few months, and you know, my wife knew the Powells longer than I have, but I just met the Powells a couple months ago, actually, at family camp, and there's certain people you just click with, right? And so the Powells were people that we just clicked with, and I so appreciate them very much. I appreciate their humor. I appreciate their conversation. I appreciate their friendship. Amen. And all the pastors here, all the youth pastors who took the time and sacrificed to come out here tonight, thank you for doing that. I know it's a sacrifice. I know it's hard, but really the sacrifice, what you're doing here tonight, amen. It's going beyond what you realize. Amen. God is doing something in this place tonight, and God sees a sacrifice, and it impacts the youth more than you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for my wife, Stephanie, being here tonight. Amen. She is so wonderful and lovely. But praise the Lord. Why don't we open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I'm just going to read one verse as kind of a launching point here tonight. But before we get into that, who here came expecting a move of God? Who here came expecting to hear from the Lord tonight? Amen. Few of us will praise the Lord. I have found that you tend to get out of a service what you expect to happen. If you expect to hear from God in a service, your ears are going to be open for the voice of God. If you come expecting to give God your best praise, you're going to come looking for an opportunity to give him worship and praise. But if we come into this place arms folded saying, I'm not going to get anything out of the service tonight, then you're shut off. And guess what? You won't receive what God has for you tonight. But I just wonder, for these next few moments, as we open up the Word of God, that we prepare our hearts and expect God to speak to each and every one of us, because the Lord has a word for us tonight. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, or before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And so we're going to just kind of launch off from this point, and we're going to speak about unlimited potential. Unlimited potential. Let's pray and invite the Lord into the remainder part of the service and open our hearts to receive from him tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, you are an awesome God. You are mighty and you are able. I am so thankful, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would do what you desire to do in this house today, God. I pray, let your will be done, Lord. Let your name be glorified. Hallelujah. Let your name be praised. Touch every heart and life here today, Lord. And I pray, let your word accomplish what you want it to. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated tonight. I want to ask if there's any math or physics nerds in the place tonight. Math or physics nerds. We got one. Okay, so I'm just going to be preaching over here tonight. Okay, one in the back. Okay, I'm a math nerd. I'm a physics nerd. I find it to be fascinating. Okay, I love learning about the way that God constructed this world and how he put all of this together. It's fascinating to me that we're discovering these principles of what God spoke in just a moment of time. And one of the principles that I think is interesting is that between potential energy and kinetic energy. Okay, potential energy is stored energy. Okay, it is it describes how much energy could be attained. It is it describes what could be, what could happen, not what is. It's kinetic energy that is potential energy in action. It is potential energy in motion. It is basically, they're basically two sides of the same coin. And so, to help illustrate, I have a tennis ball here. And this tennis ball is in my hand. And it has the potential to gain a certain velocity or a certain speed before it hits the ground. It has the potential to become something. But until I let go, it will only ever be potential. It will only ever be what could be. The God that we serve can do anything. There is nothing too hard for our God. With God, Scripture says, nothing shall be impossible. He is almighty. He is powerful. He is able to do anything. And we find that throughout the Bible, God is doing impossible things. We find that he simply speaks and galaxies and worlds are formed. He breathed into dust and caused this dust to become a living soul. He opened the eyes of the blind. He parted the waters for people to walk through. He caused the deaf to hear. He made the lame to walk and he raised the dead. There is nothing that our God cannot do. And this all-powerful, this almighty, this unlimited God knows you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows who you are, each and every one of you intimately, and he created you with a purpose. Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Before Jeremiah even took his first breath, there was a calling of God upon his life. And before you and I were born, before we ever took our first breath, God had placed a calling on our lives. He has created you for a plan and for a purpose. He has a calling on your life tonight. That means none of you here today are an accident. None of you here today are a mistake, but you are created and formed by the hands of the Almighty God. And he, as he formed you, he put inside of you a calling. He put inside of you promises. He created you with potential to do great and incredible things. The hand of God is upon your life, and God wants you to do incredible things. And since our God is limitless, since he can do anything, and there is nothing too hard for God, then there is no limit to what God can do through your life. There's no limit to what God can, what you can experience. There's no limit to the depths that you can go in God. There's no limit to the things that you can do for God. You have unlimited potential because you serve an unlimited God. You have potential to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You have potential to speak into someone's life and see their life transformed. You have the potential to turn your world upside down. You have the potential to turn your school around for Jesus. You have the potential to become a mighty missionary for God. You have the potential to become the greatest teacher that Pentecost has ever seen. You have the potential to become a great evangelist or a great pastor or a great preacher or a great musician or a soul-winning Bible study teacher. You have unlimited potential. God can take you far greater than you could ever go on your own. He can take you to places that you never thought you could attain to. God can take you further than you ever planned for your own life. You have the potential to become a mighty man and a mighty woman of God. How often do we read in the Bible? We read about the book of Acts and the miracles that took place in it, and we wish that we could be a part of that. We wish that we could see those things happen. We wish that we could be there to see it take place. We wish that we could do those same things. Well, guess what? You can. You can, because God can do great things through you. God can use you to do the miraculous. You have the potential to do great things. And if only you realized the potential that's inside of you. If only you see right now what I see in this place. There are ministries here that God wants to birth in your life. There are pastors here. There are people in this room tonight who can change the world. You have unlimited potential. And with God on your side, there's nothing that you cannot do. Nothing is impossible. You have unlimited potential. Yet with all this potential that we've been talking about, though we serve a limitless God, though he can do anything, that does not necessarily mean that those things will happen. We have the ability to limit what God does in our life. Though he's limitless, though he can do anything, we have the power to say no. We have the power to resist what he wants to do. We find this happen throughout Scripture. One example was in Jesus' ministry. He came back to his hometown, and the Bible says the Lord was there to do miracles. He was there to do mighty things in their midst. But Mark 6:5 tells us, and he could do there no mighty works, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Jesus came to a place wanting to do incredible things, but they limited him. They limited the limitless God. And though we have unlimited potential doesn't mean that that potential is going to take place. We can limit what God does in our life. And so tonight, I want to take a few moments to just look at some of these hindrances. Because if we know the things that hinder us, then we know how we can overcome it. And we know how we can tap into the potential that God has given us. So one of the greatest hindrances that we find to achieving our potential is never stepping out. Never stepping out for God. Never taking that step of faith. Peter and the disciples were in a boat. They were in a storm in the middle of the night. A storm was raging and the boat was rocking, causing it to go back and forth, knocked by the waves. And in the middle of all of this, as they're fearful for their life, the Bible says that Jesus came walking on the water. And when they see Jesus, Peter makes a bold request. Always Peter, always making some impetuous request. But he says in Matthew 14:28-29, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out with you on the water. And he, Jesus, said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Jesus invited Peter to step out of the boat. He told him to step out into the water. He invited Peter into the realm of the impossible. He invited Peter to walk on the water with him. What Jesus was doing was calling Peter to do something extraordinary, something impossible, something that he could not do. And so all Peter had to do was step out of the ship and step into what God had promised him. We see in the story that Peter did take that step. He left the safety of the boat and was able to do what no other man in history has ever done since. Peter was able to walk on the water. He's able to step out into the miraculous because he took that step of faith. He took that step forward. He didn't stay in the boat where others were. He didn't care what others around him were saying. He didn't care how foolish it was or how foolish it looked to step out of the boat. He simply obeyed the invitation that Jesus gave him. If you want to be used to do impossible things, if you want to be used to do great things, if you want to be used, and you need to step out into the promises that God had placed on your life. If you want to see your potential become a reality, then you need to step out of where you are. You need to step out of that boat. You need to step out of that place of complacency. You need to step out into the miraculous. So I implore you tonight, take that step of faith. Step out of the boat. Step out of the place that you are. Step out of the status quo and what you've been doing over and over again. Take that step of faith and step into everything that God has for your life. Stepping out is a scary thing. Oftentimes, what holds us back, what stops us from stepping out, is fear. We get afraid. Well, what if I step out and I sink? What if I step out and I fail? What if I step out and God doesn't move like I think he should? What will people say of me then? I took a step of faith, but nothing happened. What will people say of me? What will people think when I make a stand for Jesus? That's real. That fear of failure. The fear of falling short. The fear of looking stupid. The fear of what others may say. That's totally 100% legitimate. And I'm quite certain Peter probably felt that same fear, but somehow he overcame that fear and took the step anyways. I don't know necessarily what the remedy is for overcoming that fear, but what I know is that we have to somehow get past that place of fear. We have to somehow get out of the boat. We somehow have to push past that level of fear. Because the first step is always the hardest. It always is, and it always has been. It's always the scariest. But when you step out, you're stepping out into a world of wonder. You're stepping out into a world of impossibility. You're stepping out into the realm of miraculous things where anything is possible. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear stop you from witnessing to your friends at school. Don't let fear stop you from sharing a testimony or a scripture to somebody. Don't let fear stop you from praying for somebody who is sick. Don't let fear stop you from starting a P7 club in your school. Step out and take that step and see what God will do. Anytime that you take a step of faith, even if it's a small one, even if you're just kind of stepping into the water, seeing what it's like, even if you take that little step, anything that you do will multiply in the hands of God. Back to my math and my physics nerd. I had one. All right, yes. When you talk about kinetic energy, potential energy and kinetic energy. Kinetic energy is energy in motion. Kinetic energy is potential in motion, potential taking action. But the formula for kinetic energy is exponential. That means when your potential becomes active, it exponentially multiplies. So what does exponents do? Well, they are a way to multiply quickly. If you put in 2, you get out 4. You put in 4, you get out 16. You put in 16, you get out 256. You put in 256 and you get a number. That's big, okay? But you keep going and it just gets bigger. Whenever we take a step for God, and no matter how small it may be, anything that we put in his hand will grow exponentially. We just recently had a minister come to our church. And this minister came to our church, and as he came to our church, he kind of talked a little bit about his testimony, and his testimony was that He did not go to church. He grew up not going to church, and he was grown up. He was married, and a friend invited him to church one day. And as he obliged and went to church with his friend that one day, he thought Pentecostals are very weird. And so he was a little thrown off by it all, but his friend invited him to a Bible study. And so he decided that he would just go into that Bible study. And as he goes to that Bible study, the man is touched by the presence of God. And as time went on, that man started to respond to the tugging of God upon his heart. And he eventually was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, he and his wife. And they attended church for a number of years, and then they started their own church. They began to build a new church, and they grew that church and pastored it for many, many years, touching and impacting many, many souls. I believe hundreds, if not thousands, of people came through that church through their ministry. For he's a retired minister now, but that church that he started is still thriving and still going on and still going strong, where hundreds of people are receiving this gospel truth every week. It all started with a simple invitation. Will you come to my church? It all started with a simple Bible study. And from that, it grew into something far greater than that simple invitation. It grew into something where hundreds of souls were saved, where thousands heard the gospel, where people were touched for generations to come. All because of one step of faith. All because one person took a step and put it in the hands of God and said, I wonder what God will do if I take this step of faith. It doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be something huge. Maybe of a simple invitation to church, but that simple invitation in the hands of God can multiply into hundreds of souls being saved. You don't know what God's going to do when you take that step of faith. I think of the Welsh revival that happened in the early 1900s. And it started through these prayer meetings that were happening. They were praying for God to move upon the nation of Wales. And for years, nothing seemed to happen. But it seemed to be at one point, they were having this one prayer service and this one testimony service. And a 12 or 14-year-old little girl came up and shared a testimony that was so simple that it doesn't seem like anything. And this little teenage girl went up to the front in front of the small group of people and simply said, I love Jesus with all my heart. That simple statement, the Spirit of God rushed into that room, and that was a catalyst for a mighty and powerful revival that reached hundreds, if not thousands, hundreds of thousands of souls from a simple testimony, from simply saying, I love Jesus, a hungry heart saying, God, I love you. I'm not afraid to confess to my world that I love you, Jesus. That simple confession, that simple act of faith was a catalyst for 100,000 people to receive the Holy Ghost. Echoes of that revival are still happening in that nation today, all because one girl said, I love Jesus. There's no telling what God will do if you step out in faith. There's no telling what God will do. I challenge you today, take that step. Take a step of faith tonight. Act upon what the Lord is prompting you to do. Take that step. Turn your potential into something kinetic. Turn what could be into something that's real. Turn your potential into action and put your life and put your experiences in the hands of God. It may not seem like much in the moment. It may not seem like you're doing anything at all by simply inviting a friend to church. But you don't know by asking a friend to church what that's going to do to his heart. You may not think there's much to asking somebody for a Bible study. Amen. But God can take that Bible study and raise up an evangelist and raise up a pastor that can impact the world around them. It may be just asking the principal if I can start a P7 club to turn your school upside down for the Lord. It may be just simply laying hands on someone at school who's sick and praying for them and watching God do a miracle in their life. It may not seem like much in the moment, but in the hands of God, God can multiply it into something so much greater. God will exponentially multiply anything that you do for him. So share your testimony to a lost soul. Tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life. Because a testimony can turn a heart to God. Praying can bring about healing. Surrender can reach somebody. A humble heart in the hands of God can transform a generation. Step out into your potential. Take a step for God, even if it is a small one. Step out of the boat, even if you're afraid. Step out and activate your potential. A second hindrance that we can have to achieving our potential is how we perceive ourselves. And I think this is something we all struggle with a bit. The book of Exodus tells us of a mighty deliverance. God used Moses by a mighty hand, and with miracles, signs, and wonders, God led the Israelites out of Egypt's bondage and slavery. For hundreds of years, they were bound as slaves, but God, through the hand of Moses, did mighty wonders, and God led them out free. And God promised that he would give them a land of their own, a land flowing with milk and honey, a beautiful place, a place of plenty, a place far greater than anything they'd ever experienced so far. And so Moses leads Israel through the wilderness. He leads them into the very cusp of the promised land. He leads them to the very edge, the border of the promised land itself. And they're at this point, we're on the verge of receiving the promise of God that they send out 12 spies to go check out the land. And as these 12 spies go and check out the land, they come back with a unanimous testimony that this land that God has promised us is everything that he said it would be. It is beautiful far beyond measure. It is a land of plenty, a land flowing with milk and honey. It is incredible. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. It is everything God promised it would be. But after confessing that it is incredible, that it is awesome, and that God's word is true, 10 of those 12 spies came back with this report. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. They're bigger than us." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants of it. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak." And listen to their confession. It says, "And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." They were on the cusp of receiving the promise. They were on the cusp of receiving everything that God had promised them. But by their own confession, they said, "We are but grasshoppers. We see ourselves as nothing more than grasshoppers." By their own confession, they said that we are too small. They're too big. By their own confession, they said that we are not able to do this. That's not what the enemy was saying. If you look in the Bible says that the enemy was terrified of Israel. But from their own perceptions, they believed that they were nothing, that they were insignificant, that they were weak, that they were unable, that they were not able to attain the promise that God had for them. That's what they said of themselves. And by their own confession, they disqualified themselves from receiving the promise of God. They were on the cusp of receiving everything. Cusp of receiving everything God promised them, but they disqualified themselves by how they saw themselves. We're insignificant. We're too weak. We're unable. It matters how you perceive yourself. It matters what you think about yourself. It matters what you say to yourself. What are you saying when you look in the mirror? What are you saying when you look at yourself? What do you say when you see yourself? What are you saying? Are you saying, I'm good for nothing? I'm stupid. I'm a loser. I'm weak. I'm just a nobody. I'm insignificant. I can never achieve anything in my life. I'm just a failure. All I do is fail. I'll never be able to do great things. I'm nothing. I am unable. What are you saying to yourself? It matters how you view yourself. It matters what you say to yourself. Because if you see yourself as nothing more than a failure, then you're never going to experience the victory God has for you. If you see yourself as nothing more than weak, then you'll never know that you are strong in the Lord. If you see yourself as nothing more than a loser, then you'll never know that you're actually more than a conqueror. If you perceive yourself as insignificant, you're never going to do great things. Quit disqualifying yourself. Quit disqualifying yourself by the things that you say. Quit disqualifying yourself by the way you perceive yourself to be. I'm here to tell you, God has plans for your life. God has a promise for you. He has put potential into your life. He does not count you a loser. He does not count you as a failure. He does not see you as weak. It's time to start speaking the promises of God in your life. It's time to start saying, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the fearful say, I am bold. Let the timid say, I am strong. Let the people say the promises that are declared in Scripture and to step out into greater things. Quit saying you're insignificant. Quit saying you're never going to win. Quit saying that you're a loser. Quit saying that you're nothing. Start declaring the promises of God. Start saying every morning, I am a conqueror. Start every morning, say, I am victorious through Jesus Christ. Every day, say, I am a blood-bought child of God. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Believe in yourself again, young man of God. Believe in yourself, young woman of God. God has great things for you. And God does not see you as a failure. He sees you with limitless potential. The Bible says that the thoughts that God thinks towards us are very numerous. They're more than can be numbered, Scripture says. You are constantly on God's mind. God is constantly thinking about you every moment of every day. And His thoughts towards you are good. His thoughts towards you are good. His thoughts towards you are good. God is thinking good things about you. Quit disqualifying yourself. Quit lying to yourself. Hallelujah. God didn't call you to fail. God didn't call you to have you step out and then abandon you in the middle of it. God didn't call you to do great things and then step away. No, God called you to do great things because you are able. Because through Him you can do anything. Don't disqualify yourself. You have unlimited potential. Start speaking the promises. Start speaking the word of God and just watch what God will do. The last hindrance that we'll talk about tonight that can stop us from receiving or achieving our potential is by not letting go. Back to the tennis ball. I have this tennis ball in my hand. And it has the potential to gain a certain amount of energy and a certain amount of speed before it hits the ground. But as long as I am holding on to this ball, as long as I am in control, as long as I don't let go, all it will ever be is potential. It will only ever be what could have been. It's not until I let go of the ball does it achieve its potential. It's not until I let go and let gravity take its work that it becomes kinetic, that it becomes active. The only way that we, amen, can achieve the great things that God has promised us, the only way that you can achieve your potential is by letting go of control and letting God take over. This is a hard one because it requires submission. It requires submission to the will of God, and that is hard to do. We have our own will. We have our own desires. We have our own dreams, and we have our own plans for our life. But we will never attain our potential if we are not submitted to the will of God. When you let go, it means you're no longer in control of your life. It's submitted to God's will, no matter what He asks, no matter the cost. A few years ago, I was talking to a man. I used to teach youth in my home church, and I was talking to a man who is now grown up, and hadn't seen him for a number of years. And I was talking to him and catching up with him. And as I was talking to him, he was telling me about everything that he had planned for his life. He was just starting to go to school to take his career path. And as I was talking to him, he was telling me about all the plans that he had for himself. He had his whole life planned out. I don't remember all the details, but I remember he was talking about, I'm going to go to school for this degree, and I'm going to get a degree here, and after I get my degree, then I'm going to work at this kind of company, and I'm going to make this amount of money, and then I'm going to invest this much money into my retirement, and I'm going to get promoted after this many number of years, and then at that point, I'm going to be able to invest this much more money, and then I'm going to be able to retire at this age, my life will be set. He had his entire life planned out. And as I was talking to him, there was just something not right in my spirit. I couldn't quite understand it at the time, but as I was listening, it started to come to me, and I realized he didn't fit God into any of it. I was thinking, well, that's great, but where does God fit in? What does God have to say about your plans? Did he give the okay for that? What about God's plans for your life? You seem to have it all mapped out, but what does God say about it? This young man was in control of his own life. And to contrast that, I can tell you of another person who I am close to, who had plans for his life. He wanted to go to school to be a lawyer and make his own way. But when the Spirit of God came upon this man and to have him go a different direction, to leave that study behind and live another life, this man obeyed. He let God take control. He went to Bible school, and at Bible school, he became an evangelist for a number of years, and then he began to pastor a church. And throughout his years of ministry, pastoring for many years, God had blessed him and did incredible things through him. He was invited to preach all over the nation. And soon he was invited to preach into countries all around the world. God used him in mighty and powerful ways. And right now he is a man of influence and position, doing incredible things for the kingdom of God. Thousands, if not tens of thousands, I would dare say, people were influenced by this man's ministry. Many people were strengthened and encouraged by his life. People have received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in Jesus' name. Thousands of people heard the gospel message and received salvation because this man surrendered control of his life. The extent of his ministry, we will never know. Only eternity will tell what God did through this man's life simply because he relinquished control. And so we have a story of two lives. On one hand, we have a man who is in total control. And on the other hand, we have someone submitted to God. On one hand, we had someone who is building his own kingdom. And on the other hand, someone who is building the kingdom of God. On one hand, we had a person who lived his life for himself. The other who lived his life for others. His life for Jesus. One who is in control. The other who surrendered. Who's in control of your life? Who's calling the shots? Who's holding the reins in your life? I get it. You guys are at this point of your life where you are looking towards your future. You are planning where you're going to go after school. You're starting to think about that, and you're starting to think about what you want to do with your life. I get that. We all have hopes. We all have dreams. We all have visions of doing great things, visions of grandeur. And that's awesome. I think that's incredible. You should dream big. Don't dream small. Dream big. I encourage that. Dream for great things. Be the best you can be at whatever venue you go through. But in all reality, where does God fit into your plans? What's going to happen to your plans if Jesus comes to you and says, no, I want you to go a different way. I have other plans for your life instead. What if you don't get to live the life that you want to live? I know this is contrary to everything that you'll hear in the world around you. It's contrary to everything else. But what if Jesus says no to your hopes, to your dreams, and to your desires? What then? Are you going to obey the voice of God? Or are you going to go your own way? Who's in control of your life? What if Jesus has other plans for you? What if Jesus wants you to do something else? What then? Whose voice will you choose to obey? Will you submit to God's will, or will you go your own way? Will you let go, or will you hold on? The answer to that question determines whether or not you will see everything that God has promised you. That question alone determines whether you will achieve the potential God has placed on your life or not. Why don't we have the music come at this point? But you will never accomplish all that God has for your life while you are in control. You must let go. You must surrender your life to Jesus. You must submit your will to God's will. You must let go and let God do what only God can do. That's the only way you can turn your potential into reality. Amen. Why don't we stand this evening? George Bernard Shaw, who was a very well-known author, very well-known, published stories and all kinds of things like that, very well-known at the time. And George Bernard Shaw, very accomplished man, was asked shortly before he died, "Mr. Shaw, if you could live your life over and be anybody you've known or any person in history, who would you be?" "I would choose," replied Shaw, "to be the man George Bernard Shaw could have been, but never was." See, even this man of great accomplishment, who did many things, his works are still considered classic literature today, still didn't feel like he achieved everything he could have. We can't get to the point where we look back on our life and say, "I wish I would have done something different. I wish I would have taken different chances. I wish that if I could live my life over, I would be what I could have been, but never was." The time is now to step out into the potential that God has for you. Today is the day to make the choice, "I will step out." Today is the day to make the choice that I am going to submit my will to God's will. Because God has great plans for your life. Jeremiah 1:5. Again, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." What is God speaking over your life? Before you were formed, I knew you. Before you were developed, I had a calling and I had a plan for your life. Step into what God has for you. The God who formed you is the God who knows you, the one who put potential and promises on your life. There is a calling of God on your life. There is a calling of God upon your life. If only you could see yourself the way God sees you. If only you realize that you aren't what you say to yourself. If only you took that step of faith, what would God do? Amen. It's time to let go. It's time to let go of whatever is holding you back. It's time to let go of fear. It's time to let go of bitterness. It's time to let go of hurts and scars and pains of your past. I'm sorry if people say mean things to you. I am. But we can't let that disqualify us from what God has for us. Let go of whatever excuse you have from everything that God has for you. God wants to move in your life today. God wants to do incredible things through you. But we got to let go. What could God do in your life tonight if you surrender to Him, if you let go? What could God do in your life if you started speaking promises in your life? What could God do if you took that step of faith tonight? Tonight, now is the time to take that step. I'm wondering if we could come to the front and we can start seeking the face of God and start praying, God, I want your will to be done in my life. I want to be everything that you have called me to be. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord, to be everything that you've called me to be. Help me to be everything that you said I could. Help me to see the promises, Lord, that you have promised over me come to pass. Oh, there's some unlimited potential on your life. Will you activate it? Will you step into it? Will you believe it? Oh, this message tonight is for the young man who always wanted to be used, but never felt you were good enough, never thought that you were able, never thought that you could be used by God, because all you do is just fail day after day, time after time. There's no way God could use me. Oh, but God is calling you tonight. Surrender to God. Take that step of faith. Oh, this message tonight is for the young woman who constantly speaks bad to herself, yet longs to be something great. Stop saying those things. Start speaking the promises of God. Oh, this message tonight is for the person who's longing for greater things, who wants to step out but's too afraid. Now is the time to take the step of faith, to step out of the boat and watch what God will do. Now's the time.